Previously on DDFP.
How are you?
At what point will I not be from London, England? How long do I have to stay here until I just get accepted as one of you?
A fascinating question that you ask there. I don't know.
Handsome was kind enough to show me the Star Wars trailer.
That's right.
Good night, I'm excited.
Holy shit, is that good? What is the best kind of donut?
As long as you got donuts on Saturday morning, I'm gonna be happy.
Shall we talk about pro football a bit?
I guess so, we can do that.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. All day breakfast, every day. Enjoy it. I'm loving it. And the people here in Studio 66 are loving it. We'll introduce them in just a moment. Coming up, we're chock full with pro football talk for you as we break down week 7 and perhaps look ahead to week 8 and beyond. Coming up, our old pal, the 2-time Shecky Award winner for our favorite football playing guest, AJ Hawk, and I did a wonderful movie scene for you, and I think you're really going to fall for it and for the two of us in this turn here. We'll get you that in just a minute. Greg Hardy talk, we're going to break it down, the fighting with your teammates, Greg Hardy, everything else, with our two pals, Ike Taylor and MJD, who know a little something about that. Ike Taylor in particular, he was known to mix it up with his teammates a little bit, but Greg Hardy maybe in a little bit of a different situation than Ike Taylor or other pro football players are when he starts behaving that way, given his little track record there. Also, we're going to talk about the AFC wildcard situation. That's interesting. If you look at those teams, a lot of teams mixed together here as we approach the halfway point. Dolphins, Patriots coming on Thursday night. So, yes, much to kibitz about. Now let's say hello to the two people joining me here in Studio 66. First, he is the wonderful host of the wonderful Around the NFL podcast, and they make the tremendous pages for you 7 days a week, keeping you up to speed on all that is going down in pro football. It's Dan Hanzus. What's the poop, fella?
Here's the poop. Latest news from downstairs. Ryan Mallett cut out of Houston. Ya bang, Dave.
All right, yes. I owe your colleague Chris Wessling a sandwich. I gambled with him. Non-monetary, of course, but we made a sandwich bet on that one. I think I'm going to owe him 2 sandwiches sooner rather than later. One, I said Ryan Mallett would start 12 games. I think that one is now officially over now that he's cut, unless they re-sign him and start him the rest of the way.
And they have to go to the playoffs because they're on 12
games. No, that wasn't the other bet. The other bet was that the Broncos.
There aren't 12 games.
Well, he started 2, but either way, so that's
Pro Bowl.
How much do I like Ryan Mallett? You know how unshaken I am? All right, now listen, I'm wavering a little bit.
Come on.
I hope the Pittsburgh Steelers sign him. My team, I hope, signs him.
It's just that you're saying you owe Wes sandwiches, but you really owe all of us on some level an apology because we had to put up with like 5 straight months in the offseason of you saying, just wait till I'm right.
He's got
Ryan Mallett, you guys don't watch college. You don't understand what's going on with this guy.
No. That's an unfair representation. Well, let me say something, and then we can continue this. And then also I owe Wes one because I said the Broncos wouldn't make the playoffs. That looks like they certainly are going to get to the postseason as well. Now, I mentioned those AFC wildcard teams. Mm. All of a sudden, this guy's team is in the hunt here all the way from London, England. Not the coach of the team, but the guy seated next to me to my left here. He is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank. He's handsome. Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. It's great. Look at it. I'm sitting.
Look at Hanses. Look
loves
at
that. He loves it.
We've been running that for a month now, Hanses. Thanks for watching the show.
I'm happy to be here once again. That's a real thing, and
that's
I love it.
That's a real thing that happens around the world.
Look at you.
On the internet.
That's only.
You know what the hardest thing about that was? Every time I see it, because I'm a left-handed quarterback, what you don't do with a left-handed quarterback is roll
stop
them right.
And then
roll them right. And that's what I had to do in that. And it just looks a little awkward.
That's the most ridiculous thing about that. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see Steve Young rolling right and throwing back.
Unlike Hanzus, I hope you've been watching along on YouTube or NFL.com or both, and also at NFL Now. You can consume it there, and of course on audio on iTunes and Stitcher. Join the conversation, why don't you? Hashtag DDFP. Let us know what you want to hear more of us kibitzing about, or what you want to hear us kibitzing about a little bit less. Real quick, before we get to the Monday night action, the Greg Hardy stuff, and we talked, to pull the curtain back, we talked to Ike and MJD yesterday about it, and they will come off, as I'll tell you up front, a little cavalier about it. They say, what's the big deal here, really? And it's really, it's not the players are fighting. It's Greg Hardy and his track record. It's just a bad look. It's just not good for the organization. Right. It's interesting that they've completely rallied around him, and it feels like a need thing from Jerry Jones on down, that if Greg Hardy goes away, there goes any chance we have, even in that bum division, of getting back into this thing. But they do make an interesting point, and I say Ike and MJD, I'm lumping them together, but Ike's the one who said this, is, I shouldn't spoil it for you, but just to sort of...
Tell us.
Well, I'm not rationalizing in advance, but I am saying in that he said there are a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame that misbehave, and it is really the difficult position for the NFL is that from the commission on down is that this is a sport in which you're asking people, or which they willfully, their employment requires them to run into each other, and as Ike always says, people aren't right in the head who do that. You know, there's something, it requires a certain mentality to do that. And so the balance of human beings that are able to do that, you know, you're going to find there are going to be some outliers in terms of behavior for society. It doesn't justify, you know, felonious deeds or anything like that, but you're going to have some guys get fired up and be a little bit wackadoo out on the football field. Is that the fair? Or
yeah, but I think that the issue, you mentioned it, like the Cowboys probably believe that they can't win without Greg Hardy, but I don't know that Greg Hardy's at the level of player. If you think about the great players in the past who you've sort of said, well, let's put aside his behavior, but you know, the TOs and the...
Charles Haley
was a great... I think those guys are at a different level to Greg Hardy. The problem is that the Cowboys don't have... In fact, the other guy on their team who is also a little loopy is Dez Bryant, who's not playing at the moment, who they've let get away with things. But I don't know that Greg Hardy's necessarily at the level of a TO or a Charles Haley or those guys. And therefore, why, you know, he can only get away with it because he knows he can get away with it, because he knows that they can't live without him.
It's been a long time since we saw Greg Hardy play a full season, but he was one of the top five defensive players in the entire league his last full season.
But is he going to be a Hall of Famer one day?
I don't know.
His behavior. Has he played at a level through his career consistently? Because those guys we're talking about.
Well, that's some degree, Hall of Fame is a lifetime achievement award too. If he did it over 10 years, but he certainly is on that trajectory given his performance when he's been right. Yeah, he's a dominant difference maker.
I get what MJD and Ike are saying, or whoever really made that point, but at the same time, you can't let the guy off the hook for that behavior. It's just ridiculous. And this is what the Cowboys asked for, basically, when they made this signing. And now they're going to go down with the ship if they have to. And that's what this is going to be. They have to make excuses for him until they can't make him anymore, as long as he's productive on the field. It's a very Cowboys situation.
Right, and it comes out this week that outside of what happened on game day, you know, the things that we saw, he missed practice one day last week. And so that's what they're enabling him. And they're enabling him because... he is the one thing
really
that Jerry Jones
true.
Thinks is the thing that's going to keep our season
And like Cowboys would do, they're circling the wagons here because they covered up the Thursday tardy thing. And not only is this not unacceptable by the Cowboys standards, what Hardy did on Sunday, no, it's leadership.
By the way,
is how they've couched it.
Not just tardy Thursday. Rap Sheet reported he didn't show for practice, didn't call, and they spent the majority of Thursday morning actively looking for him to see if he was okay, and that was completely put underneath the rug. To the point, in other organizations, that would be a major story. He wouldn't be playing the next week, or who knows what could happen with them. It's just like, oh no, let's just let him get away with it. You know, it reminds me. I'm reading a really good book about the Dodgers by Molly Knight right now. What they did with Yasiel Puig when he came up, when he was showing up late and being disrespectful to reporters and teammates and opponents not liking him. But they kind of pushed all that under the rug too because he was so talented. So anybody that's saying, like, when is the NFL going to learn, you know, to deal with these high-character guys, these low-character guys, don't bring them on your team. It goes across every sport. If you have the talent, you get off the hook.
Yeah, value over virtue. That's why Ray Rice probably isn't on a roster because people thought at this point he probably doesn't have enough value to deal with whatever off-field stuff we're going to get to. Hey, very important stuff. Let's get to it right now. Monday Night Football in the books. That means Week 7 is now fully in the books as well. The Arizona Cardinals survived the Baltimore Ravens. I got to say, Joe Flacco to me, maybe it's because he's beaten my Steelers too many times now, but I think he's nails, man. I know that he's imperfect, and he probably can't carry a team over 16 games on his shoulders by himself, but he really is out there with Steve Smith and nothing else, and he does keep that team around. Now, the fact of the matter is they're 1-6, and I still won't be surprised if John Harbaugh winds up in USC. But let's talk about the winning team here. Handsome Hank, what do you make of the Arizona Cardinals as we approach the halfway point?
I think the Cardinals are at a stage where they are now like toughing out wins, and that's a good thing. At the beginning, they were kind of knocking people out. But I think it's good for that team to sort of learn how to overcome that sort of comeback, to trust their defense to win games like that. I think the Cardinals are going to be playing deep into January.
Do you think they win the division, Hanzoos?
Yeah, I do. And that was a bad ending to the game. I mean, they had a chance. What was it, to be up
17 points? I was
points.
Stunned for Bruce Arians to make such a ridiculous faux pas.
You miss an extra point, then you get a punt blocked, then you give up a touchdown in the next play, then you give up the two-point conversion, and then you run a terrible four-minute drill that leads to a grounding. That was a bad mistake by Carson Palmer. And then you let him go down the field again. They got very lucky to not have one of the all-time blown primetime games.
Absolutely. And something I say all the time is when you have a team that absolutely needs it in the NFL, that team tends to get it unless they're hot garbage. We don't know about the Ravens if they are, in fact, the garbage that I refer to. But, boy, they really had some things go against them. That Chris Johnson run where he rolls over, I hear some people saying that he's down, Chris Johnson, when he rolls over the body of the Baltimore defender and then gets back up. It's wonky, no doubt, but I think you got to count
the
run, right?
Yeah.
I'm hearing people say, clearly they should have blown the whistle. Common sense dictates that he was down on that.
That play, I know there's a lot of buzz now because he's the second leading rusher. I wasn't that impressed with Johnson other than the one touchdown run and the fact that he couldn't take that to the house after he had a 20-yard head start, and everyone shows you he doesn't have that speed anymore either. Still having a very nice year and comeback player of the year candidate, but I wasn't that impressed by his
performance. Yeah, but I think probably all of us would have said that you'd be surprised if Chris Johnson was playing in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's
to be where he is, yeah. It's pretty incredible.
The other thing that stood out to me is Patrick Peterson does look better than he looked in the last couple of years, but the guy back in the secondary with him, a DDFP All-Star, the Honey Badger himself, he shows up. He's one of those guys, you know, most people sit around and watch football and look at the skill position guys and look and are following the ball at all
not
times.
You.
But, I'm saying that even if you are one of those people, the Honey Badger jumps out whether you're trying to pay attention to other things on the field or not. He shows up.
But you also love interior offensive line play.
That's one of my passions. Yeah, also, food that tastes good is another passion of mine.
All
right, another passion of mine. AJ Hawk. And
before
this
we
is
move
a
on to that, Dave.
What?
Smith,
what?
Our former pal here in DDFB Studio 66. He had this great quote we're going to tee up here on the show. Let's do it.
Well, you know, everybody has that out, Yelp, and you have reviews. 2 stars. That's why I would review this on my Yelp. It's 2 stars.
The great Steve Smith talking about Yelp reviews.
Yelp
review. He's the greatest. I was watching again on Monday night, and again, it occurs to me. I've said this ad nauseum, but any Hall of Fame that wouldn't include Steve Smith is no Hall of Fame of mine. Don't expect to see Damashek's shadow in that door if you don't put Steve Smith in it. ASAMP.
Your bust will never go in there if Steve Smith doesn't.
Remind me again. The word bust has the most range of any word in the English language. If you're great, they make a bust of your head because you're so great. Or you could be a bust. I don't care if you've heard it before. Bust. You could also be so bad that you're a bust.
Right.
Also, you can bust a balloon.
A woman
is bosomy.
Yep.
Fellas who, you know, some fellas are plagued
bust.
By the same sort of thing.
Yep.
But anyway, a lot of uses for the word bust, right? Anyhow, as I was saying, I would like to, now that I'm talking about my passions, and even here, Bengals, Steelers week, Steelers trying to get back into the North. They need a win at home against the Bengals to have a legitimate shot in the second half of the season of catching up to the high-flying Cincy Bungles. But nonetheless, my passion goes, it stays consistent for one, A.J. Hawk. He and I did a little scene from a movie called The Notebook. Did you ever see The Notebook?
Yes.
Here, take a look.
Of course.
Time now for one of my favorite moments of the week when I get to sit down with two of my favorites here at NFL Media. You watch us every Sunday, I hope you do, on NFL Now Game Day Blitz, watching all the games for you. And as you can see here, we've selected our helmets for today. Steelers representing Ike Taylor and myself. The Raiders representing Maurice Jones-Drew. Ike decided not to choose a helmet properly this week, so we gave it to Rhoda, the stage manager. We'll talk to Rhoda in just a minute. She's emerging as quite a star here on the Dave Damon show. What's that?
You really said that.
I think she's been quite good.
I was talking about with the helmet situation.
Well, that's what she, Rhoda decided.
I thought she's, I did in New York.
Thank you. Okay, Giants. You can have the Giants as well. You're trying to ingratiate yourself to Rhoda, the stage excited. Manager.
I thought I decided
it's a great
I
city.
Ike decided it and to impress happy. Rhoda because
no, I
Rhoda.
Just, time out. Don't do that. Let's carry on. We got to get it presented by McDonald's in here somewhere.
Well, we are presented by McDonald's. That is true, and I'm loving that fact, Ike Taylor. But you know what I was really loving this weekend? A week ago, Maurice Jones-Drew had one of, as a football fan and as a guy who is obviously has played for UCLA and for the Jaguars and the Raiders. It was an awful week six for you. In week seven, though, a big bounce back. All your teams come through, and you get inducted into your high school's Hall of Fame. Mazel tov to you, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Thank you very much. It was a great weekend. I felt the last game, though, the Raiders dominating the Chargers really just put me over the edge. I didn't need it that bad, but it was nice to have.
I think when we talked about the playoff picture this morning, I got the Raiders sneaking in there.
You know what? Big game all of a sudden looming between the Oakland Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers. A couple weeks down the line, those two teams could be battling for a sixth seed there. Yeah, the yin and yang of the football world, Ike and I, our team didn't do so well on Sunday. But you know what? That's in the rearview mirror. But I do want to let you know, NFL Now Live every day of the week. These two are chopping up the world of pro football for you and doing it with a whole lot of mirth. Make sure you tune in and check that stuff out. And something else you can track down on NFL Now. You know, fellas, all the iconic plays in pro football history, we've all seen them ad nauseum. You've heard them. But the problem is they always come with the winning team's play-by-play. So you're kind of – it's kind of stale now. I went back and dug up the audio call of the losing side, and it really brings new life into these plays you've seen. In fact, Ike Taylor's team was involved in this one. It's time for another installment of the worst plays in NFL history.
Roethlisberger waits for the snap. Second and goal from the 7. Directs traffic. Miller moving inside. Looking to his right. Come on, pass rush. And Santonio Holmes, did he catch that ball? Touchdown! Are you f***ing kidding me? Touchdown, my f***ing s***. The one f***ing guy to keep an eye on. And three Cardinal defenders can't do it. I got to get the replay on that. Unbelievable. Yeah, NBC, I see it. I see the 2 feet. You know what else I see? I see Aaron Francisco 5 seconds too late. I see Ralph Brown with his thumb in his ass. And I see Dominique Rogers-Cromartie f***ing around playing hopscotch in the f***ing end zone instead of keeping an eye on Santonio Holmes. That's what I see when I NBC it.
Yeah, you see, it really is, it's different. You know, you realize, like I say, the yin and yang. Ike, you're celebrating on the sideline, and you really weren't thinking about how the Cards were reacting.
I saw it because I was right there. That was a touchdown catch, and I'm glad DRC was jump jacking. I'm glad at all that. I hope them guys continue.
That was good how you bleeped yourself in advance, so now we don't need to go back and not polish this up here. Hey, let's talk about something that really is emerging from Week 7. DRC, the team that he helped defeat, the Dallas Cowboys, there was all sorts of nonsense going on the sidelines there. Greg Hardy, a lot of noise made about him over the last year or two for his off-the-field stuff. Now he's arguing with coaches. He's arguing with Dez Bryant. What, I mean, big problem, Mike, or not a big deal?
We were talking about this earlier. It's not a big deal.
No?
Yeah, the situation last year with Dez and Witten on the sideline. You know, everybody came to agreement, oh, those two guys are alpha males. They play with passion. So now when Grant Harden does it with the coach and also Dez Bryant, it's a problem. So we're going to talk about his off-the-field issues and bring them on the field, or we're going to talk about Greg Harden as a football player. Regardless of what you want to say with the man off the field, he's one of the few that can get to the quarterback on the field.
Is it fair, though, to separate the off-the-field guy from the on-the-field guy? I mean, his stuff does have to do with some nasty stuff. So for him to comport himself like that, that doesn't raise a red flag for you, MJD?
Tom Brady got into a Billy O'Brien back in the day. And, I mean, they were barking at each other like ready to fight nose to nose. And it was passion. Like I said, it's all about passion. I mean, this guy's passionate. He comes off. He comes out the first game, gets 2 sacks. He's doing everything he can to win, and they're losing. I mean, yeah, you're going to be passionate. You give up a kickoff return. If you take away that kickoff return, they win the game. You know, different story. So I think that as a defender, he's emotional. We're all emotional. When you're in that fire, you're trying to explain yourself, and then it just takes one person to do something that you just don't like to send you over the edge. That's all it was. It is what it is. It's no harm foul.
I would go that way. I don't want to make too big a deal about it, and I don't want to get up on Mount Pius about it. It's just the track record of Greg Hardy in particular that to me is sort of makes me think that maybe it's not a good idea for him. He should have the sense to not do that because it just looks bad. It brings the spotlight back on him. It puts it on the Cowboys in a negative way. You don't see that?
We can go down the line with the majority of your Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. And all of them pretty much had track records off the field.
Yeah, I know you're being hyperbolic about all of them, but a lot of them did.
Yeah, off the field. Like, mm-hmm. a few that we know had track records off the field. That's just the emotion and the passion they bring to the game. You know what I'm saying? They're so caught up into winning the game, he's probably frustrated. You know what I'm saying? Went to Carolina, balled out in Carolina, had some issues in the offseason, got another chance, just came off suspension. His thoughts in his mind, like, I'm thinking our record by best should be 4-2 right now. We're 3-4. Mm-hmm. So I can see his frustration. You know what I'm saying? But by the end of the day, Jerry's not going to say anything because he still remember in them 80s, in the late 70s with them Cowboys, a lot of them guys had off-the-field issues, but they were winning Super Bowls. So you got to have a few of them guys on the roster. Now, it's not going to look good to the media, but as a football player, I still to this day want Greg Harden on my team.
You can like it or not, and you can, like I say, get up on Mount Pius about it, but I do kind of buy that that's the reality of being a football player, that there are going to be – I mean, it is a sport where you guys are intentionally running into each other.
He has a type A personality, you know, and type A personalities tend to clash a little bit, and when you have a ton of them, that's how you win games. And I think just right then and there, he's coming off the field, you know, they just returned a kick. He's like, listen, man, you got me jogging out here to block this field goal, and we can't – you know, we need everybody to play at a high level right now. Now, granted, him, he shouldn't have went to the coach with it. But, I've been in locker rooms where guys have, you know, kind of got to talk and you had to pull them away. It happens in every locker room. I don't think it's any different.
Wait a second. I mean, I don't even know if it's always just kept in the locker room. Sometimes it's out on the practice field. I mean, I hearken back. Oh, wait a second. Who's 24 there in the Steelers helmet?
Oh, shoot.
Uh-oh, Ike. What's going on here? That's Antonio Brown on the other side.
Two alpha males.
Two type A's.
Yeah, two type A's, man. Two alpha males. He ain't backing down. I ain't backing down. That's just how it's going to go.
And you like him still?
Yeah, that's my guy. What happened?
So you guys get into a scrum, and then you go back to the locker room, and it's like, oh, that's all right. That's that.
Yeah, you fight and you shake hands after. That's how I was raised. That's how he was raised.
Legitimately, do you think, because, again, people can take this out of context and say, couple of football players defending Greg Hardy, who's a ne'er-do-well, and that's bad. But the reality is that you fight with your teammates sometimes, and you understand if you are a part of that culture for any amount of time that that is something that happens?
Man, it's a brotherhood.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
I was gonna say that.
Yeah, it's a brotherhood. So I can fight Maurice Jones-Drew, and we can shake hands. But anybody else try to fight Maurice Jones-Drew, it's going to be an unfair fight.
It's funny you say that because I tell my kids all the time about you ever see Spy Kids?
Yeah.
There's two spy kids. They fight each other all the time, but then when anybody else challenges either one, then they support each other.
That's the biggest thing. Like, you know, I grew up, I had a stepbrother and then my sister, and then my stepbrother stayed with his mother, so I only had my boys that I went to high school with, and we'd bicker and argue and fight all the time. But as soon as someone else jumped in, all 12 of us was jumping on that guy, you know, and that's just how it is. It's a family, so, yeah, we're going to have our own arguments. Again, you got to understand the locker room is a microcosm of society. So we got guys from all different walks of life. and we're coming for a common goal, but sometimes we don't get along, and that's okay. That's why you have Richie Incognito with the job. Because I know at the end of the day, if something does happen, he's going to jump in and help me.
I agree with that. And just to put a button, to button it up, I just think that it's Greg Hardy who himself should know, given what he's been through in the last year or two, and how much he's under the
Did you see his rap video?
I didn't see his rap video.
Go check it out.
All right, I don't know if I'll do that.
And that'll let you know.
Staying with that Cowboys-Giants game, though, the Cowboys might have had a chance to tie it up and force an overtime, but Cole Beasley fumbled the punt with about a minute and a half to go. What's it like? Has either one of you ever felt responsible for a loss? Do you ever feel like we would have won this game if not for me?
Yeah, that that Denver Broncos game for me, man. That was tough.
Against Tim Tebow in the playoffs.
Against Tebow. That was, man, that hurt. You know what I'm saying? And it hurt because I had to go into the offseason.
Right.
Like, I couldn't redeem myself during the season. I was cool with it. But just with, like, the social media and everything, I was thinking about my mom, my sisters, like, my homeboys, like, because they're going to flip out if anybody tell them something. I'm cool with the criticism because that's what I'm built for.
Right.
But at the same time, they're not cool with social media. They're not cool with millions of people just talking to them crazy. How are they going to respond to that? So when it first happened to me, I'm like, dang, my family got to go through it. That's the first thing I said.
What a weird 21st century reality. Yeah, like, Cole Beasley's wife went on Twitter to defend him.
My family got to go through this.
Are they jumped on her?
Oh, yeah.
Me as a family, me as a football player, I'm cool with it, but they're not used to.
And do you go into the locker room and say, hey, sorry, guys, it's on me?
Nah, I broke a few things. I had to repay a few things in the locker room. You know,
I heard about that. I heard you tore it up.
Yeah, I broke a few things.
I heard about it?
I heard about that. I heard you tore it up.
I broke a few things in the locker room. But all the guys understood. They was like, man, just let them vent. Then don't even say nothing. Don't touch them. Because if you say something to him,
he going to turn on you.
He going to wind up just flipping the whole moat.
That's a savvy move, actually. Because if you break stuff, then everybody's like, just leave him alone. I can't yell at him because he's already yelling at himself.
Tim Tebow highlights.
He didn't like this, and now you show it? Black Tie, the producer, not cool again.
No, he's over here, man. I'll handle it later. Don't worry about it.
I've been in a lot more playoffs and won a lot more Super Bowls than Black Tie and them guys over there. I'm cool with myself. Matter of fact, Black Tie, you should run some more. Why you don't put up the Super Bowl whatchamacallit?
I demand you turn this clip off for our video viewers, including Ike Taylor.
Look at that. That's a cool step.
There's no reason we need to see that.
Yeah, he made me reset my button. That won't go.
You trying to go get him.
Nah, once you got to reset that button, it's a wrap. Black Tie got a line in, too.
He
got a line
in real close. We played the Tennessee Titans, I want to say, in 2007. And we were going in to score. And I was like, I broke a tackle. And Mercedes came to block for me. And he punched the ball out, Mercedes Lewis. And I was like, I felt helpless because I was like twirling around. I can't grab it. No one's around. It's just sitting there by itself. And I'm seeing all these Titans converge on it. And we ended up losing the game by 3. And I was like, oh. You know, but the guys in the locker room were like, look, man, it happens. No big deal. But to me, I just had to go by myself. I had to go for a long drive and just hang out by myself for a little bit because I didn't want to go home with that and be yelling and be upset.
So you don't feel anybody in the locker room leering at you from across the way? Like, man, we would have kept on going, but it was that guy over there.
I mean, Black Tie mess up all the time.
Yes,
we were supposed to start like 5 minutes ago.
Right.
So we wound up not starting because of Black Tie.
It's true.
But we can't blame him.
Yeah, we can't blame
Black Tie. He's only human.
What are we going to do, sit here and harp on Black Tie?
He's only human.
He's only human. Things happen.
He screwed up. Fine. Black Tie made another mistake. What else is
there? Players mess up, so do coaches.
Just gonna sit here and endlessly talk about how Black Tie messed it up.
Black Tie messing up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, but he's a human being. We're not just gonna sit here and make fun of that the whole time.
And he runs on Madden, the best team he can find instantly.
Yeah, when he plays Madden, he takes an unfair advantage of it.
But bandwagon.
Quick.
But like, I don't want to sit here and just make fun of Black Tie. I mean, that wouldn't be cool to do that. To just sit here and endlessly Black Tie. He screws up a lot.
Dave, if he tweets me again, we're gonna have problems.
I'll tell you this, Darren McFadden also in this game, take a look here. This is just one example. You see it every week. Darren McFadden takes this screen.
Okay, D-Mac.
To the house.
Right.
But it gets called back because of offensive holding on the play. What's that like? I always think that must be the worst thing to be a guy who holds a touchdown, the guy celebrating. He doesn't know that there's a flag behind him.
You waste a lot of energy.
You go back to the huddle, like, hey, guys, sorry about what just happened there.
No, you don't say anything. I mean, again, guys blocking for you, that's one of the toughest things to do in the league, especially offensive linemen in space. But you didn't have to hold him unless it was one of those ones where, like, if I didn't hold him, he was going to destroy you. So right. I respect that. We'll go back and film and watch, and I'll be like, here's what it is.
So there's no apologizing to teammates is what I'm gleaning here. You don't go back and say, like, yeah, that was.
Because, well, you know, you're going to mess up. I mean, one time you're going to do something that you're going to want everyone. You're going to want that those, like we like to call them, coins, so you can pay it back, that black card. Because if you don't have that black card.
It was more, we had our skin was so thick in that locker room. We talked about each other bad. I'm talking about from wives to girlfriends to to kids. Like, that's how thick your skin had to be in the locker room. But we can only do that. Anybody outside that locker room, man, had issues. So it wasn't an issue. You know, we're just playing football, man. You're going to lose some battles, you know? So if the guy lost the battle and it was the battle to lose the game, let the man go through with it. We're going to vent because probably a play or two in between that game, you probably lost a few battles.
I just can't believe Black Tie showed that play. I apologize, Ike. I'm upset for you.
Well, you shouldn't apologize. I'm coming for Black Tie job.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
That's
See,
cool.
Black Tie, you did it to yourself on this one. Hey, the Patriots continue to just blow up all assumptions that anyone who's watched football for any amount of time would have. Again, on Sunday against the Jets, they run the ball 9 times. Any other team does that, that's a guaranteed loss. Not the Patriots.
No.
Their best wide receiver is Julian Edelman.
No.
Makes no difference to the Patriots.
No.
They just keep on winning.
No.
38-year-old Tom Brady, who should be in the final throes of his career. Nope, he's the best QB we've ever seen. What gives? What voodoo are they working over there?
See,
Tom found the fountain of youth.
That's for one. For two, they're surgical. Well, Tom is surgical with this offense. Like, he puts his mask on, he gets his gloves, and he's going to thread needle the heck out of defense.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's their running plays. So these 2 to 3 yard run, passing plays that offensive coordinators don't like because they want to hit the big shot right now, they want to score right now, they want to get on NFL Network right now for the highlights, Tom Brady, they're cool to stand above the chains. So it's cool for the 2nd and 7. I'm good with the 3rd and 3, even if it is a 2 yard pass. Like, they're not looking at the stats saying, okay, we're averaging 5 catches per play, or we're averaging 17 catches per play. They're looking at it like, no, we winning games, man. We're gonna commit some surgery on these guys. They're comfortable in their own skin. They remind me of Drake right now. Very comfortable.
It is. I mean, but it's, I mean, like I say, I mean, there's a laundry list of these things that no other team would even think to do. And I mean, they don't
they
care about
Tom
running backs.
They got Tom
Any
Brady.
Running back they put in runs for 150 yards when they decide.
They have Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Not many teams have that guy. You know, you see Peyton Manning, they can't run the ball. People don't respect Peyton Manning's arm. You have to respect that offense and what they do, because they run a lot of short option routes, and they have these quick receivers that can take a 3 yard route, like Ike said, and turn into 15, 20 yards. And then you throw it to Gronk down the field. I mean, you have what you want.
He's the killer. It's an unfair Gronkowski, as Ike Taylor has named him, is the key piece.
They're built for the postseason. Don't forget, you're not going to hear Blunt. I mean, Blunt might get you 2 or 3 games for 100 yards, but you're really going to hear about Blunt December playoff postseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They think far ahead beyond other teams and other coaches.
And in the meantime, like Ike and I were talking about yesterday, it just is that it's the difference between the old metaphor of ripping the Band-Aid off or peeling it slowly. I would just as soon get burned on a 70-yard bomb and run off the field and come back fresh than just those 3rd and 9s and Brady gets you for 3rd and 10, one after the other down the field. Takes your soul.
I don't want either one.
That's even better.
Presented by McDonald's, since you don't want to do it.
Show, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you
go.
For that. Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, terrific as always. And like I say, NFL Now Live, the place to watch them all through the week. Celebration Station, make sure you check out the Fashion Police,
yeah,
Game Picks, so on and so forth. Whatever they're doing, it's good to watch.
Fashion Popo.
Fashion Popo.
fashion po-po.
Thank you. Yeah.
And soon to be the new producer of the Dave Damashek football program, Mike
time.
Taylor.
I would have us on time. I would have us on time.
I'm
sure.
Loving it. Presented by McDonald's.
Presented by the Arch.
And now it's time for the weekly evisceration of those who ran afoul in pro football. It's time for the Sheck Report. Great work, Sheck. You still got it, kid. All right, back in Studio 66, and as you can see, another package from a listener. We appreciate it. The Sheck Republic knows no borders still, and we will feast upon whatever awaits us inside this box in a moment.
That looks suspicious, by the way.
You think so?
It's a little overly taped up. It's something you would probably need a machine to take a look at.
I think Cameron, didn't he help us? Cameron Hobbs sent this to us, and I think this is on the basis that my meat pie didn't make it through customs.
Well, I think, though, that I think this was vetted by Homeland Security, Hansus, right. Because it came from Scotland. I don't think so that's exciting. So it came across.
See something, say something.
It came from across the sea. All right, now let's talk about the NFC, the NFC West specifically. And we talk about the Cardinals, and it looks like they're on their way there. But, you know, I was looking at the standings before this game on Monday night. And they're the Seahawks. They're right there. They're kind of, you know, the Cardinals trip up. Had they fallen on Monday night, all of a sudden it would look like, all right, well, listen, they have more than half the season. The Seahawks are going to reel them in here, as they did last year. But they're the other team there. I almost called them the Los Angeles Rams, Freudian or otherwise. The St. Louis is where they play their football right now. But they're legitimate as well in my book. Dan Hansus, let's start with you. How is this division going to finish? And tell me which teams wind up playing in January as a result.
I'm still going with the Seahawks as the wild card, and I think the Cardinals will win 11 or 12 games, and that will get them the division. But, yeah, the Rams, I'm buying in on them a little bit now, because now they have an all-pro running back and, you know, a guy that's performing at a level of like Adrian Peterson as a rookie. So you throw him into the mix, it changes everything with them. With one of the best defenses, you could say arguably they have a top three defense, and now they have the best young running back in football. You put those two things together, Foles can do even a little bit. I'm thinking this team can win 10 games potentially. I mean, this is an interesting division. I wouldn't even rule out the Seahawks getting picked off by the Rams for that wild card spot. But for now, I'm going to stick with Seattle.
Well, that's what's interesting, too, about the Rams' chances as we go forward. Now, they have two wins. They have one at Arizona, and they beat the Seahawks in St. Louis. That's not small stuff as these things start to, they'll come to a head around Christmas time. But, Handsome, how say you?
I agree with Dan. I think the Cardinals will come out on top. I think the one issue that could happen, and we've seen this in divisions where teams are very good a lot before, is they'll knock each other out, and then none of there won't be a wild card team from the division because the Seahawks and Rams and Cardinals will win so many games against each other that there'll be a division winner, and the wild card teams will come from elsewhere.
Well, so we have I guess I'll say that the Cardinals are going to hold on here, and it's weird that Carson Palmer, given what I've talked to about with guys that have been around him over the course of his career, they say Carson doesn't like to study a whole lot. It does feel like he's very – I mean, it really does. That is the difference between getting to the pros. Obviously, if you're gifted enough athletically and so on, you can get to the pros. But you always hear that, the difference between Michael Jordan and, Gilbert Arenas or whatever is the motor and the motivation and all that kind of stuff. If Carson Palmer is more focused than he used to be, I don't know. I mean, he was obviously pretty good on good teams in Cincinnati and has had his moments in Arizona. But I wonder, if he's – because to me, he was the question mark coming into the season. Right. I was like, all right, Carson Palmer is the savior to this team because John Skelton or whoever wasn't good enough. I do think they'll win it. The Rams are really good. Nick Foles, would they be better off with Sam Bradford? Should they not have made that trade? Or are they 6-1, half dozen of the other?
Sam Bradford's poison. Come on. I feel like we've seen enough.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have been doing a great job in St. Louis, just like he's not doing a great job in Philly. He's a mediocre guy.
You know what? I get the impression, and disagree with me if you want, but I get the impression he won't be in Philly next year, but someone else will give him a shot as a starting quarterback. I just feel like
but he Sam won't get Bradford, a big deal
he won't get a
anything.
Big deal out of it, but I do feel like that, Sam Bradford has a sort of infinite number of lives to, because someone will fall in love with what they saw in college and his size and his arm strength and all that stuff. And so they'll give him another shot to be a starting quarterback.
If I were another GM, I'd be spooked by Chip Kelly not being able to turn him into a statistical performer.
But he's not he was never, when you look at him, he's not the guy who's going to do well in Chip Kelly's offense. Like there is no threat whatsoever of Sam Bradford. Like
if he would have played a full season last year, Mark Sanchez was on pace for almost 5,000 yards last year. I know he wasn't great, but he would have thrown 35 touchdowns and 4,800 yards.
I think they'd be better off with Sanchez now.
We might see it.
The thing that the only apology, and then we're going to move on to the AFC here, but the people keep pointing at the lack of wide receivers, the lack of playmakers for Sam Bradford to throw the ball to. I always go back to the fact that it seems like nobody's paying attention to the teams that keep getting to the Super Bowl and going deep into the playoffs. Who are the Patriots wide receivers? Right. Who are the Seahawks wide receivers? You know, now they're difference making.
Careful saying that. The Seahawks wide receivers will come after you for that stuff.
I know. I've had to apologize to Doug Baldwin for that.
He
turned down my apology, too. He turned it down to my face. I kind of respected it, because I couldn't do anything about it.
Tom Brady should be an outlier in that conversation, though, just because he's the greatest quarterback ever, and he'll play for another 10 years.
Touche. Well, Sam Bradford was supposed to be that. Hmm. So, all right, let's move on to the AFC and to the wild card chase specifically here, because we're not even at the halfway mark, and these divisions are settled now. The Patriots are going to win theirs. The Broncos are going to win theirs. Much to my surprise, I didn't think that would happen. And the Bengals, if they win in Pittsburgh this weekend at least, are going to win that one. But the wild card chase remains compelling. And wouldn't you know it, the three of us have a rooting interest in this. Who's going to get those wild cards? Handsome, I start with you. And congratulations, by the way, on your chewing... muscle-bound hero of a head coach.
Thank you.
Just beat a pair of independent football league teams in back-to-back weeks. Here we go to the Super
Bowl. Right, exactly. I'm excited about it. It's a lot of fun to watch. I don't think that the Dolphins are going to go to the playoffs. The Dolphins had a cakewalk first six games, which has now come to an end. And the rest of their schedule is a lot more difficult. They've got to go on the road a lot. They've got the Patriots coming up on Thursday night. As you can see here, they've got the Eagles away. They've got the Jets to play in New York. They've got to play the Giants. I don't think that I think Dan Campbell has turned that team around, and I think they're going to play hard, especially compared to what they did with Philbin. But I don't think they're going to wind up in the wild card.
We're looking at a board right now for the audio listeners. We'll read it off to you. The big games. Handsome just went through the Dolphins there. The Steelers, like we say, have the Bengals not once but twice. Of course, this is the first of that two-part series. They go up to Seattle, which suddenly feels not as scary, at least, if seven is right.
Especially if he's had one game back. You know, if he's played one game against the
Bengals, still a tough game.
That's still a loss. Yeah. Let's assume that's a loss. They have to play the Colts in Pittsburgh, and I think that's on a Sunday night. That's a weird one too. Like, it really is funny the way you look at a schedule in July and get spooked by certain assumptions, and now the Seahawks and Colts look winnable. And to me, so does the Broncos in Pittsburgh. I think the Seahawks is the one loss I'll circle there, and you assume that they're going to split with the Bengals. But I still think the Steelers struggle to get to 10 wins. I think that's about their high watermark if you look at what they have. And then, Hanzeus, go through your Jets here.
We got home to Dolphins, at Giants, at Cowboys, home to Pats. It's not bad. Well, what do we got? I mean, we got the Jets of the Raiders up next, I thought.
Yeah, they do. And, oh, and by the way, no, these are the compelling games.
Oh, notable games. Oh, I
see. As determined by MVP and Black Tie.
I like to go week by week. We can't assume anything here in the NFL, but...
I'm not assuming a victory in Oakland.
Yeah. What I see here is the Steelers, and you're right. As a Steelers fan, Check, I get it. You're worried. I think the Steelers are going to find a way to get in the playoffs. They're too talented. They have too many players as long as Big Ben's upright. And then it comes down to, is it the Dolphins or the Jets, or do both of them somehow blow it?
I think that the team that we're missing from here, and I get why we've only got these three teams up, is the Bills. I think depending on what the Bills look like when they come back off their bye this week, and if Tyrod Taylor's healthy again, if the defense can sort something out and try and work out why they can't get pressure with those four All-Pros up front, I think that's a team that could get hot in the second half of the season.
The one thing I will say about the Jets is they're good. What that loss to the Patriots, there's no moral victories, but I came out of that game seeing not a huge difference between the teams other than the quarterback position, and I think the Jets can hang with any team. And barring injury, I think I don't see a collapse this year for the Jets. I mean, I've said that probably 15 times in my life, but I do think this team will win 10 games still. So I would pick the Jets and Steelers.
Right, but the valley of their season could come right now if they don't go out to Oakland. They just go through a really... That's a tough loss. It was right there. They could have taken down the Patriots. They could have been in first place right now. Now they have to fly across the country. And, I'm surprised, by the way, at how often professional football players point that out, of what a grind that is, the trip across the country, about what that is to have to overcome that, especially going west to east. But still, so the Jets are going across the country for this one. Ooh, and a handsome uniform matchup and an AFL reunion between the Jets and Raiders. Famous games. Do you think that they take down the Raiders this weekend?
I don't know. They don't play well historically in Oakland, so... And the Raiders are a pretty sneaky, decent team now. So I would call
it. Revis takes away Cooper, though, you assume.
I assume so, yeah. But I want to see, is Ivory healthy? He hurt his leg again against the Patriots, which was kind of an overlooked thing. I think the Jets would have won that game if they had a healthy Ivory, but it didn't work out. If Ivory is himself, I think the Jets can win the game. But it is, to me, a toss-up.
And you said that about the NFC. Of course, it's true about good divisions as they beat each other up. I'm kind of counting on that from a Steelers fan's perspective, that your teams and the Bills are going to knock each other out starting on Thursday night. That they're going to, well, that the Dolphins will either put themselves down and or Tom Brady will put them down for the rest of the season. But if they win that one, then the Dolphins are motivated, and then the Jets and the Bills.
It's a great Thursday night game.
It'll be fun. It'll be
because
a fun Thursday night game.
Wes on the Around the NFL podcast is all jumpy now and excited about the Dolphins. I really want, if they could put up a, similar to what the Jets did, you don't have to beat the Patriots, but if you put up a good fight and show you can hang with that team, I'd be nervous as a Jets fan that the Dolphins are going to stick around and this isn't just a little, they got a little pop from having Campbell take over.
I think that's a good point. I think probably what Dan Campbell, remember what in his opening press conference said that he's going to leave the X's and O's till later, and I think basically what he did is he just sold those off to Al Saunders, who's a great offensive coach, and they brought him in as an advisor. I think what Dan Campbell's job this week, especially in a short week, will be like convincing the Dolphins players that after 5 years of mediocrity, or 10 years of mediocrity, or 20 years of mediocrity, depending on how you look at it, they actually can beat the Patriots. And I think that's the job that he's done best so far has been to tell this team that, like, you can do these things. You are better than how you've played. And if he can convince the Dolphins not just that you can put up a great show against the Patriots, but that you can actually beat them, I think they could possibly
The mystery
do it.
To me is I'm still waiting for a team to do this, and maybe I'm just waiting in vain, but I'm waiting for somebody to bang on that Patriots defense with the running game, and maybe Lamar Miller can do that.
That's what he's been trying to do. It's just
last thing, and then we're opening this package. Hanzus, what if Geno Smith, what if the punch hadn't happened, if IK and Apale hadn't have done that, where would the Jets be right now? Better? I think they could be better off. Not record-wise. I don't know that they could be any better than where they are, but their trajectory might look even brighter.
Here's the thing. I'm assuming they still would have had this great defense and Chris Ivory. And Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't been great all season. So I would say, it's the Geno coaster. He would have been terrible, and Ryan Fitzpatrick would be in the lineup, and the Jets would be a 500 team right now.
Where's the letter here, Black Tie? We got to open it. It comes to us from across the sea, like I say. It comes from Cameron over there in Scotland. He's a part of a football team. Wait a second. I'm not jiving you. People got into this thing. What happened here, Black Tie?
Black Tie ate
drug.
Somebody ravaged our package here.
Well, Hank did dive in last week, right?
What? I haven't eaten any of them.
We got some beautiful tea cakes.
Tunnock
tea cakes.
Would you like a tea cake, Dan?
I would. I've never heard of it.
These dark chocolate gingers.
These
water biscuits.
These have Damashek's name on them right here. Butter toffee and pecan shortbread rounds.
Wow.
Oh, that's
Scottish all butter oats.
What is this, handsome? Are you familiar with Brew Planet?
It's called Iron Brew. Iron Brew is essentially what gives Scottish people their strength and motivation to go out and kick people's butts. I would definitely, if I were you, Dan, I would drink one of those.
All right, it's good to know.
Wait a second, Black Tie, do you know anything about this? There's a half-eaten caramel wafer biscuit.
I have no idea what happened to that.
MVP, do you want to talk?
MJD has been here a couple of times.
Oh,
so, you know.
Whoa! Careful, Black Tie. I've learned my lesson on that front.
I think Black Tie's going to hear about that one.
Hey, Black Tie, earlier on I sent you a picture. Would you?
Haggis and cracked pepper.
Pass.
Could you throw a picture up on the screen?
Yeah, let's do it.
Behind me. So, Dave,
I love those dark chocolate gingers.
Have one while I talk about this. So, earlier on, Dave lent me his telephone because he wanted me to look at something. And so you can see it here. Let me see if I might have to move that out of the way. There are two types of people in the world. There are people who read their emails, and then there are people who have 19,792 unread emails. How do you do that? How do you live with yourself?
I don't know.
That's the capacity of Madison Square Garden right there.
If I had that on my phone, it would drive me
insane. A legitimate question. That's really abnormal?
There's 35 messages, 19 missed calls, 10 of which probably mine.
19 missed calls?
I'm too lazy.
35 unopened messages.
The point is
19,000 emails you haven't opened.
The messages thing checks out.
Well, we're closer to 20K, really. But the legitimate question, don't you get a bunch of junk mail? What do? You go through and you delete
it. It is a personality type because I can't have even one.
I can't even have one. Like if that reminder thing, that would upset me.
Yep.
Three App Store updates. God. I've updated those in a second.
I don't even know what the three emails next to App Store means. I don't even know what that has
anything
to do with.
System updates.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know about that, but what am I going to do? I have only so much time on the planet Earth. I'm going to spend part of it deleting junk mail.
Yeah,
I'm
going to definitely
updates from the NFL news desk. Hey, Ryan Mallett got cut. Hey, so-and-so reacts to Ryan Mallett getting cut. Hey, what does Brian Hoyer think? I mean, like, how many of those do I go?
I'm not going to denigrate our work at around the NFL, Dave.
No.
And by the way,
I like that.
In the messages, 35, there's definitely some from the old Zeuser that went unanswered. Yeah. It's hard to get an answer.
Those are the ones where it's like, hey, Dave, are you coming? Because I thought we planned this thing.
Some things are not.
Sometimes it's like a text to Dave. Oh, Dave, I thought you did really good on that segment.
Those are the ones he normally answers.
What a fraudulent Dan Hanzoosh. Yes.
Would do that.
Dave, wonderful work from one colleague to another. Please, go eat a tea cake. All right. Hey, thanks to, give me the name again.
Cameron Hobbs.
Cameron Hobbs and his Scottish football team, his Edinburgh football.
The Wolves.
The Wolves, right. And they sent a great T-shirt. And where did it go? I want to wear the T-shirt. That belongs to me.
Pretty
or to Handsome Hank or to Black Tie. I bet Black Tie has it on under his.
I'm sure he does.
His fashionable.
Is Black Tie wearing it?
All right. So listen, thanks to AJ Hawk. Thanks to Ike Taylor. Maurice Jones-Drew. Dan Hanzoosh, make sure you check out Around the NFL, the podcast, thrice weekly on Sunday night. You can watch the video of it on YouTube or NFL.com. Handsome Hank, good luck to your Dolphins on Thursday night. We'll be back with another show for you, including the Red Challenge Flag pick segment for Week 8. Elliot Harrison, maybe a special guest, and Handsome Hank will be along for that one. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Find out more on the next DDFP.